Welcome to this episode of Planting Seeds. I'm Keith Jones, the preaching minister of Calera Church of Christ, and I've prepared a short message from Scripture that's intended to be the planting of a seed that, if cultivated, will in time produce fruit in the lives of the listeners. Now, let's get started. The Lord bless and keep you, may His face shine upon you, and be gracious, and give you peace. In this episode, we'll continue our study of the book of 1 Corinthians, looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you have a Bible with you, follow along while I begin reading in verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, and to another various kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not the hand, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administration, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess the gift of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gift, and I will show you a still more excellent way. From the beginning of this letter, Paul has been concerned with the unity of the church in Corinth. He said that he's heard that there's divisions among them, and that even the questions that they're raising show that they haven't developed the spiritual maturity that's necessary to make godly decisions that affect unity. So he has gone through a series of issues and explained to them how to apply spiritual wisdom to that circumstance so that they end up always doing everything to God's glory. Starting in the previous chapter, Paul starts to address the assembly itself and how they could approach the assembly with more wisdom to effect greater unity so that the church is more effective in its purposes. Chapter 11 dealt with women wearing head coverings when they came to the assembly and how they approached eating the Lord's Supper. Here in chapter 12, he continues the discussion of assembling together and how a group of people who have very different gifts and abilities can come together and conduct themselves in an orderly way so that that assembly functions like a whole body, one that's complete with all of its functioning parts, working together to achieve their purpose. He begins by reminding them of what their worship experiences were like while they were still pagans. He told them that at that time they were worshiping mute idols, but they were still led away by some type of spirit that was causing them to have very emotional religious experiences. We know historically that the pagan temples of that time would use music to stir the people into a frenzy, and they would use smoke and lights to affect a particular atmosphere that would create a very emotional response because of the sensory overload. But now, Paul would say, they are filled with the Spirit of the living God, who can speak and does speak to his people and through his people to make himself known in the world. And he lets them know here, as he does in other places in his writings to other churches, that it's very important to test the Spirit, to make sure that you're not just being emotionally stirred up, but that it is the Spirit of God that's acting in you. He says, no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. There are certain things that the Spirit of God would never say because it goes against things he has already revealed, things that he revealed in his Son, Jesus. But for those who proclaim Jesus as Lord, they do that by the Spirit of God. Paul's not saying there that it's impossible to utter those syllables without the Spirit of God. He's saying it's impossible to make that proclamation and live it out, make that oath to God apart from the Holy Spirit. Then he goes on to say that in your assemblies, when people are being led by God's Holy Spirit, that the words of God will be affirmed by acts of power and service. And Paul lets us know that it is God's Spirit that energizes every ability and gift that we have, and that it is our one Lord for whom we perform this service. And there is one God who gives power to the effect that we can have on others as we use those gifts and abilities. As he's stressing the oneness of God, he is also stressing unity, that the things that God has given us should always be used to build up the body. This will create unity in his people. And unity is not all being alike. That's uniformity. Unity is when we work together with our different gifts and abilities for a common purpose. The word in this passage that gets translated gift that Paul uses is from the same Greek root as the word we translate grace, charis. This word for gift is charisma. It means a gratuity or an endowment, something that's given to us freely, an extra benefit. And each of these gifts is a manifestation of the Spirit of God within the believer. Paul mentioned several gifts here, and we tend to get fixated on what those gifts are and whether or not we have them. But Paul's point here is that everyone has been given some manifestation of the Spirit in their lives. And that manifestation of the Spirit, that gift, that ability that we have, that's God-given, should be used for his purposes and not our own. We should be using it to build up the body, not to tear it down or create division. Paul is reminding his readers that if we are walking in the Spirit and we house the Holy Spirit and are being led by that same Spirit, it will be made known. Our responsibility is to be a good steward of that gift, to make sure that it's used the way that God wants it used. Here, Paul mentions wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment, speaking in tongues, and being able to translate tongues. This is certainly not an exhaustive list. There are other lists in Ephesians, Romans, and Galatians that let us know that the Spirit will make itself known in a wide variety of ways. His point here is not the gift itself, but the Spirit that energizes that gift. And Paul says that every way that the Spirit shows itself among believers is valid and must be honored. Because even though the gifts are different, that Spirit has baptized us into one body so that collectively we make a singular whole. So Paul stresses that no gift or ability is greater than another. We must not honor one group of people or one set of ability over others. They all came from one Spirit, so they should not be honored over the God that gave them. When a body is whole, when it's complete, when it's functioning in a healthy way, it cares for all of its parts. So while we get to this section of 1 Corinthians and want to argue about the definitions of these terms and whether or not the expression of these gifts and abilities look the same as they did in the first century, when we fixate on that, we're actually doing the thing that Paul is warning against. We're fighting about how the Spirit makes itself known and which manifestations are most significant, rather than taking care of the body and making sure that it's healthy. And I know some may be tempted to say, hold on a minute, we have to settle those things so that we can take care of the body. We have to know whether or not these things are still in place and what they look like and who can do them and which ones are most important so that we can have a healthy body. But if you look closely at this passage, Paul is saying exactly the opposite. At the end of the chapter, he says, not everybody gets to do these things. Not everybody will participate in the work of the Lord in these ways. And the way the Spirit is making himself known in your assembly may not look like it did in Corinth. Paul will speak to specific gifts in chapter 14. He'll talk about how they should be used and what they look like. And we'll have more of an opportunity to talk about the working of those gifts there. But here, the main point is that however God has blessed you, whatever gift or grace he has given you, is to be used for the building up of the body. And before he gets into some of the gifts that were manifesting themselves in the church in Corinth, he's going to remind them there's a better way, a more excellent path to letting the Spirit be revealed in their congregation. He tells them that they shouldn't be jealous of others' gifts or abilities, things they don't have, but rather they should pursue what he calls the more excellent way. And all of chapter 13 will be about love. And his point there is that if you want to experience unity in your churches, the most amazing manifestation of the Spirit in your assembly will be to love one another. Thank you for listening. You can find more of these messages on our website, calerachurchofchrist.org, or subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcast app. You can also like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.